could remind everyone that dozens, I think 70 people from 12 Midwest states will be coming to Indiana next week for a summit on the methamphetamine problem. We make no pretense to having solved it. We've made dramatic progress this year. The number of arrests is down dramatically from its peak in March. Both the new law and all the new emphases we've tried to bring to this problem seem to be working. I met with our meth task force in its regular meeting again this week. Backlog at the lab is, state police lab, is down by over three quarters. But we hope to learn from other states, and as they hope to learn from us, about a problem that affects us all, we're going to be working on for a long time. But Indiana's war on meth is making progress and remains one of our very top priorities in state government.
What was your commute like last night, Governor?
I was fortunate in a way. I was having a Christmas dinner for the cabinet at the residence, and because I worked here till close to 6:30, I think we made it that far in 35 to 45 minutes. And then by the time the event was over, the traffic had pretty much cleared. wasn't too bad. I want to say a word of praise for the folks at NDOT. I was in touch with them last night and through the night. I've seen reports from all the districts. They have done, as far as I can tell, a phenomenal job. Please note, this was a statewide event. Most snowstorms, even the worst ones, don't hit every part of Indiana, and this one did. And so there was not the option to move people and equipment from one place to another. But they threw everything they had at it. 1,300 vehicles, I believe Tom Sharp told me. And roads are open all over the state, despite snowfall from 7 to 11 inches virtually everywhere. And I cannot thank them enough or praise them highly enough. I know Tom Sharp rode for several hours on trucks and saw firsthand what his folks can do when called on.
One of the problems that they had is that they couldn't work on the road because there were so many people headed home at rush hour. You didn't send state employees home early. Very few businesses let out early. Number one, you regret sending state employees home, and number two, you think the governor or mayor should have power in a situation like that to give them some leverage to get businesses to send their people home and get them out so that they can work on the road.
Might be worth a look. My impression was that an awful lot of people left early anyway, both from private and public employment, and that ironically may have contributed to the problem, which the gridlock started well before usual quitting time. But yes, it might be worth a look.
What was your analysis on the new NDOT communication center that they had in conjunction with state police and how it worked out?
I have no information you don't have. My impression is that it worked pretty well, and that again, I can only look at, as I always tend to look at, the results, and the results were look pretty darn good, considering again a snowfall of a minimum of 7 inches and ranging up to 11 or 12 in certain counties, everywhere all at once, coming at the toughest time, coming around the rush hour in most parts of the state, and judging from how quickly roads became clear or even normal in most places under state responsibility, I think they just did a phenomenal job. I'm sure communications had a part in that.
Did NDOT have any of the issues that they had here in Marion County yesterday with so many commuters, people leaving home early, that going out to sort of the outlying counties and in other parts of the state that they had to deal with sort of a lot more traffic than usual? Or
I think this was probably one of the worst places from that standpoint. The snow came earlier in some counties and later in some. Here it hit at almost the worst time, coupled with one of our more densely populated areas, obviously. So I think in most places it was a problem, but not quite as severe.
Governor, it's been about a little over a week since you got the request from Evansville Mayor and County Commissioner for an executive order on some tornado safety changes for mobile homes. Have you had a chance to respond to that or given any more thought to that?
No, staffed it out for a good, hard look, hard analysis, and nothing new to say about it yet.
Governor, tomorrow the UAW in Kokomo is going to have a rally to try to raise awareness about some of the issues facing auto workers in Kokomo and Delphi and the problems at Chrysler. So it's a tough time for the people in Kokomo. Is there anything you can or would do or prepare to do, I guess, to help the thousands of people in Kokomo who may be affected in one way or another from the problems facing the auto?
We'll work on it every day and make Indiana the most job-friendly and manufacturing-friendly state it can be. We made a lot of strides in the last year in that respect, and we're being recognized now as having a more hospitable attitude to jobs like the ones in those towns. And obviously, in the case of Delphi, I made a very direct appeal, and we have an open channel to that company. And I think we all understand that it has to come to some resolution with its unions before state action will mean very much. But they obviously know who we are, they know what our outlook is, and they know we're prepared to help.
Marion County GOP suffered, some people said, a major loss yesterday when they're trying to pick a candidate to replace outgoing Senator Murray Clark. Some of my backroom deals, I guess, just didn't work out the way it was supposed to. Mike Delph ends up getting the nomination. Any of your thoughts as the leader of your party on if the local guys can't get their act together, how does that fare for the agenda you want to accomplish?
Oh, none in particular. There were a couple good people running. And my interest is that whoever got elected be a reformer and an advocate of change and the kind of programs that we're trying to bring to the state. It's pretty clear to me that any of the people mentioned, any of the three, I guess, that held their hand up would have been a good ally in the campaign for reform and change. So I'm glad to work with whoever comes out of that process, whoever becomes the duly elected or elected to a full term next year.
I understand that you tried to arrange some things so that Isaac Randolph would be in that seat. If you had to do over again, it would crush your process.
Well, I didn't try to arrange anything, but I know people did. I think a lot of Isaac Randolph, and I'm glad to see any time the emergence of minorities in our party. I'll encourage that every chance I get. But I keep hands off things like this, and in this case, a relatively small number of precinct committeemen had the authority, and they did what they thought was best.
Do you expect Isaac Randolph will run next year?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised, given that over three-fourths of that district is in Marion County, if somebody did, but I have no clue.
There was some talk, though, to kind of piggyback on what Jim said, is that when Ike was brought to the precinct committeeman as a candidate, and the thought of diversity came up, that a lot of them just got really upset and annoyed at that concept of diversity. Does that sort of worry you or concern you that even though you may want a party that's more inclusive, that some people may not have that same priority?
Well, I haven't talked to a single one of them, so I don't know what factors they were weighing or weren't. Just the chit-chat I heard makes me think it had much more to do with factionalism or their sense that they were being the decision was to be made by someone else. I would really be displeased and would hate to ever believe that any member of our party was anything but enthusiastic, as I am, about bringing forward more Latino citizens, African-American citizens, Asian-American citizens in our party. We must be the party of opportunity and a welcoming party to folks who want to build their lives in this state.
Governor, this week there were allegations of horse stuffing and race stuffing in Houston Park. Do you have to worry about placing that?
I don't know. We appointed a new commission, as we appointed new people everywhere, and told them to make certain that the public interest was being defended aggressively. In many cases, we found need for improvement. This may be one, but I haven't seen any reports beyond those in the media up to this point.
This has been going on apparently for a couple of years. Is this a black eye that the commission isn't doing anything about it?
I'd like to see all the facts before I say any more. Clearly, we found many cases in state government where public interest was not being well defended, but I don't know yet whether this qualifies as one of those or not. If there's been some wrongdoing over there, I'm glad that it's now been brought to light.
Are you concerned that this may jeopardize the state's investment trying to hold up the horse racing industry?
I don't know. We'll have to see. My hope is it's an aberration to the extent that it's proven to be true.
Governor, we've asked you about education several weeks.
Yeah.
I know you've been formulating your education agenda.
Are
you any further formulated? Do you have legislation yet? And can you give us an idea of how many bills or exactly what the subject of those will be?
It's in draft form. I think we made virtually final decisions this week, and it's along the lines I've talked about before, to try to seize the opportunity to put more dollars into Hoosier classrooms and at the point of instruction where they can do the most good, in the hands of teachers and teachers' aides. And to do that in a couple of ways. One, by freeing up districts and schools from less important things that are now often required by various state laws and regs. Free principals to lead, free teachers to teach. Secondly, by providing new authority and assistance to schools and school districts to save overhead money. There is literally hundreds of millions of dollars available to pay teachers better, to have smaller classrooms, to maintain or add new programs at the classroom level if we can reduce overhead, which is unnecessarily high. Last year, we identified the fact that Indiana is way above most states in the percent of school dollars spent on buildings and construction, and we've acted on that. The next phase ought to be to help schools minimize spending on, in the back office, transfer those dollars to the front lines, which is where the teachers are and the kids.
In doing so, will you be proposing to allow districts to use money from their debt service funds, capital projects funds, transfer that money into use of, for general funds?
Not prepared to say at the moment. One reason to not go further in that particular area is to try to force attention onto the untapped potential of shared services, of combined purchasing. Every school district, as far as I can tell in Indiana, buys its school buses, for instance, by itself. In neighboring states, they are bought off a master statewide contract, and the difference is thousands of dollars per bus. We'd like to save that money and use it to hire a new teacher.
Your first item, to free up districts and schools from less important things, what would an example of that be?
Well, there's a, as I understand it, inches thick a stack of rules and regulations that do dictate the curricular decisions and things like this. Lots of reporting that goes along with some of this. All of it well-intended, but when you stack it up, as always with government regulation, it can be counterproductive. And if schools would like to make their own decisions about those things and save some overhead money in the process, I'd like to help them do it.
What are your thoughts about 100,000 Toyota cars coming to Lafayette, and what do you think that might mean for Asian investment in the state?
I've been in close touch with this process and with both companies for some time. It's a very exciting possibility. Please note that if it were to happen, we'd be the only state in America with two Toyota assembly plants. It's a real tribute to Hoosier workers and all the advantages we like to tout about Indiana is a great place to do business. So we're in very direct conversation with both companies. I think there's a good chance. Don't take this to the bank yet, but because it's not a done deal. But it has all the elements, seems to me, as a business person, all the elements of a good bargain for both companies, and the state's obviously willing to assist at the margins of that decision to help make it happen.
What definitive exit wants to grant property tax relief to homeowners, and as part of his plan, he talked yesterday about how he thinks the state could afford $150 million to do that within this budget without finding other resources. Can, within our existing budget, can the state afford $150 million?
Not clear to me we can. We're not back to balance yet, although I think we're ahead of schedule. Someone needs to remember that we still owe schools and local governments late payments that were denied them, withheld from them during the years of our bankruptcy. And I think those things have to be attended to. So we are ahead of schedule, largely through really aggressive and effective management of agency after agency after agency, and we're saving many millions of dollars, even below the tight budget that the legislature passed. But I think we better be pretty careful about moving prematurely and to spend money in any new direction. You know, I believe in paying off the credit cards before you buy any new cars.
Along those same lines, Senator Meeks said at a panel yesterday that he'd be interested in using the tax amnesty money above the $65 million to maybe make a down payment to start paying off debts to the schools and local government. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a good idea?
Might be. I would simply say that using one-time money to pay down debt is a lot better idea than taking on a new obligation that you'll then have for years and years. Like I say, let's pay off the credit cards before we make any major new purchases.
Part of the tax relief plan is the idea that the child welfare levy should be a state responsibility because it's a state program. Do you agree with that?
I've said that. I said that months ago at the meeting of the county. I think of this, all of this, by the way, more in the context of local government modernization. This is the big long-term front on which we have to move. It's more than just putting a patch on a property tax problem that stems from so many different things. The trending rule, the end of the inventory tax, spending to the limit by local governments, etc. But local government modernization in various forms, more flexibility to raise money from different sources than the property tax. I called for it last year. I'll continue to do so. More flexibility to reorganize local government itself, to reduce overlapping level layers and unnecessary duplication. And the sorting out of responsibilities, and I think this is one that, with the right safeguards, can be transitioned to the state level, lifting that burden off property taxpayers. My point is, I tend to see these kind of things as modernizing a local government structure that dates back to before the Civil War. They would all have the effect of lowering property taxes, and that's a very good thing, too.
But if we're going to do that for the child welfare levies, why wouldn't we include hospital care for the indigent? That's not included in the GOP plan. Doesn't that fall into the same category?
Might or might not. I think over time we can take a look and ask ourselves, re-examine the question, at which level are decisions being made, at which level is it the most appropriate to finance these things. Please never lose sight of the fact that it's the same taxpayer paying. And no taxpayer should feel particularly good that the government picked his left pocket instead of his right pocket. And the goal over time has got to be to limit spending at the state level and the local level. Until we do that, taxes of various kinds will always be higher than I think they should be.
What would you recommend be done that if government picks up more of those local property tax levies, at least the state government anyway, whether it's child welfare or the indigent, that local governments will keep that levy there and just use it for something else?
One of the safeguards I just mentioned. This will be true in general. Local governments, and I appreciate the pressures they're under, but they have been spending an annual rate of 6% growth for many, many years. about the same as state government. And that outruns, that's been outrunning Hoosier incomes, and it's been outrunning the growth in property values. And that's why taxes are going up. If you don't spend it, you don't have to tax it. And so, we have reined in spending at the state level. That's why we're headed now toward a balanced budget and out of bankruptcy. And over time, local governments and schools, which is the biggest piece of our property tax bill, must do the same, and I want to help them do the same. That's what these two sets of measures we've just been talking about, dollars to the classroom and local government modernization, are all about.
Which makes snow removal eastern or central?
I'm sorry?
Which makes snow removal easier, eastern or central?
Norm. Depends what time it snows, Norm.
Have you seen the Indy Star editorial on their website yet, 12 Days of Christmas, where they use you and...
Yeah. I thought, yeah, somebody showed it to me last night.
Any thoughts?
I think it's fortunate that Rashawn is a good writer. No, I got a laugh out of it, but then I generally get a laugh out of your newspapers. Before I get to Section C, or wherever the comics are.
House Republicans have also suggested in their property tax discussions that there be a referendum for a certain size, they have a settlement for larger public school construction and even local government construction projects.
It might be. I mean, it gets at a problem that I believe we're successfully moving on already. The problem that we did identify last year, average Hoosier school construction project, half again as expensive as the national average, much bigger, much more expensive per square foot. We put in place a common sense system that says if you're going to be above the national average, show a good reason, which can often be done. But tens of millions of dollars, as you've noticed, have come out voluntarily of various school construction proposals. So I think we're beginning to make headway here, and again, with the hope over time of making more dollars available for the teaching of children. This would be an additional way to try to protect against letting construction outrun instruction, and I'd look at it.
What do you hope will come out of Monday at NDOT is holding a forum on public-private partnerships? What do you hope will come out of that?
Some greater understanding that this is a very common thing in much of the world, that it's a coming thing in the United States, that it's a very effective tool in lieu of taxing overtaxed Hoosiers to use other people's money to strengthen our economy by building better roads. And it's not brand new to the United States. The Democratic mayor of Chicago has just used it effectively. The Democratic mayor, governor of Virginia, has accepted a similar project. But it is a chance for Indiana to lead, and I'm going to work very hard for this whole set of proposals. This is the way that we... And as far as I'm concerned, the only effective way that we build the major projects this state needs, we build the projects large and small that will make us a very strong economy in the future. It's the single best thing the General Assembly could possibly do to put Hoosiers to work and money in their pockets. And so we understand that these concepts are new to a lot of folks, and that's why we're trying to do a variety of things to answer the very legitimate questions that people have when they first hear them.
Mary County, their council is going to take up before the year's over an anti-discrimination ordinance on human rights, sexual orientation. I know you issued an order basically non-discriminating for pretty much the same reason. The opponents have said, if you do this, men will start coming to work in dresses, want to use the ladies' room, it'll just cause chaos in the workplace. Have you folks that you issued the policy had any of those types of problems or any complaints or anything about?
I'm unaware of any.
Have you gotten a peek at any of the interest in this hallway at what the bids are? Is there, I think, a report in the Post Tribune that it might be as much as $2 billion?
Have no way of knowing. If it's not, if there's not a bid, well in excess of what we can do on our own through conventional means, then we'll drop that idea and begin working on a plan B. But we won't know till we know. I can only tell you that there seems to be very serious interest by very serious groups of enterprises, some American, some not, and that's a promising sign, but until those envelopes are opened, we won't know if we have that part of our proposal to carry forward or not.
Does it matter to you whether they're American or not?
Doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter. You know, we had a very successful mission, Republicans, Democrats, people from all walks of life to Asia in August. Our purpose was to go get American dollars that have gone overseas in trade and bring them back here to put Hoosiers to work. This is exactly the same principle. If we can, if it should happen that the winning bidder is largely from somewhere else, to me that's a plus. If we can bring dollars in large numbers back to this country, to our state, use other people's money to build roads and bridges we'll otherwise wait on forever, put a lot of people to work, to me that's an opportunity really to be seized.
The Democrats are only trying to build opposition to a potential deal by saying that it was all foreign investment.
Yeah. I think it's the most boneheaded comment I've heard. Again, if we can go recover American dollars and bring them back here to put Hoosiers to work, first building these roads, which otherwise won't get built, and then in the businesses that will take advantage of those, I think it's a great idea. I don't remember anybody saying it was a bad idea to go to Japan and try to encourage investment, more investment in Indiana. And this is the very same thing. So let me say that it might be a natural first reflex, but if you stop and think about it for even a few seconds, it shouldn't get in the way of our seizing this opportunity. And the folks who raise an issue like that really need to tell us, which half of the project don't you want to build? Because that'll be the result of obstruction of this set of measures.
Governor, one of the problems with Indiana's economy has been that we don't have a lot of corporate headquarters. The profits generated by activity here flow elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that not be a concern with international investors in the toll road taking their profits home rather than having them here?
Well, I'd rather focus on the dollars that will be, the extra billions of dollars that will be spent in Indiana employing Hoosiers, first in building these roads and, of course, operating the toll road wherever the headquarters of the winning bidder would be. It'll be Hoosiers working there and benefiting from the businesses that locate along there. So I think that we're in a global economy. And capturing other people's money, whether it's out-of-state drivers who pay two-thirds of the tolls now, or out-of-state investors, I think it's a big part of this job. That's why I went to Japan. That's why I'll go overseas again.
But to some extent, sir, wouldn't we be capturing Hoosiers' money to send to these?
Martin, I assume, therefore, you want me to tell Toyota, don't come to Lafayette, please. We wouldn't want you here. I mean, the very same logic would say we don't want those investments because whatever margin they make finally finds its way into the hands of, don't forget that it finds its way into the hands of shareholders, many of whom are Americans, many of whom are Hoosiers. So if you want to compete in the global economy, you have to understand that there is no fence around our borders. And the winning states going forward will be those who are attractive enough that people elsewhere, whether it's in Illinois or Japan or Australia, want to invest here. That's the way we win for Hoosiers and put more money in their pockets, and that's our objective.
Are you confident a firm from, say, Australia or New Zealand would be able to, say, plow the toll road after snow like yesterday? Are you confident that they'd be able to handle that test?
It would be Hoosiers doing it. We would write, if it got that far, we would write, as Mayor Daley did, as is always done in these cases, a very detailed lease agreement with very high standards. The Skyway agreement gets down to the level of how long it will take to get a dead squirrel off the roadway. I'm not making that up.
You read the Wall Street Journal story this week?
But I knew that before I read it. And, because I've looked at the agreement. And we would do that too. It isn't any different than, the vast majority of state government is done through contracts. The whole Medicaid system, we don't employ all those doctors. We don't own all those hospitals. That's billions of dollars. But there are high standards that have to be met. You don't meet them, you get fired.
Is there going to be any more competitive sourcing in the next year? I know that's been big on your administration, some of the state-run hospitals, prisons. Anything else we should look at down the road?
It's possible. If we can save a tax dollar or improve service or both, and that's what's been happening, you bet we're going to do it. But you take these things one by one. It's a very practical issue. Can we get a given type of service delivered better? And can we do that as a savings to taxpayers by the healthy force of competition? Sometimes you can, and where that looks like the case, we'll do it. Oh, all right. Thank you.
Thank you.